You're listening to the All Systems Go podcast, the show that teaches you everything you need to know to put your business on autopilot. Learn how to deploy automated marketing and sales systems in your business the right way with your host, the professor of automation himself and founder of Automation Bridge, Chris Davis.
Welcome to the All Systems Go podcast. I am your host, Chris L. Davis, the founder of Automation Bridge. And in this episode, I want to cover the state of small business automation, where we are, how we got here, what to expect. And I want to touch on the competitive landscape a bit. And a spoiler alert here, and I alluded to it on my previous podcast recording, is that the competitive landscape is pretty frustrating with specific to marketing automation. And I'll explain that later. But if you hear a little more tension and frustration in my voice, it's because of that. Before we get too far into the podcast, if you're new, I need you to make sure that you subscribe and share while you're listening to this podcast. Just think of that one person who really needs to hear that one thing that I mentioned or many things that I mentioned. And make sure that you share with them. This podcast is in all main outlets, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, anywhere where you can subscribe to a podcast and listen. The All Systems Go podcast is there while you're at it. A 5-star rating and review would be greatly appreciated. Thank you in advance for that, by the way. So let's get started. And I want to start with my definition of small business automation. So what do I mean when I say small business automation? And it's the suite of software tools or your stack. I'm using air quotes here when I say stack, that allows a small business to function like a traditional enterprise. Okay, so it's the suite of software that allows you to function like an enterprise, that allows you as a small business to function like an enterprise. And that introduces the advantage of the small business owner is leveraged technology. But there's a way, there is a process that you have to follow and abide by with leveraging technology. And I'm going to talk about that a little further on in this podcast. But first, let me just take a few minutes and describe and define where we are. Okay. And in fact, no, I don't want to start with where we are. Let me just discuss how we got to where we are. Okay. The state of small business automation today did not look like this just 4 or 5 years ago. And if you go back about 8 years ago, it was totally different. In fact, about 8 years ago in 2011, the only options that you had as a small business owner for marketing automation was two platforms, one called Infusionsoft. The other one was called Office Autopilot. Office Autopilot has now gone on and changed their name to Entreport. But these were all-in-one solutions that were based around convenience. The adoption of technology was at an all-time low for small businesses. So doing any form of marketing online was just very hard to wrap your head around. So these all-in-one solutions said, hey, don't figure it out. Just buy our solution and we do it all. We're able to do all of it for you, which was great at the time. It was great, but it was expensive. But at the time, this was like $2,000 to get started with Infusionsoft, $300 a month ongoing. And remember, this is 8 years ago. People are not used to spending this type of money on marketing, right? This is still when MailChimp was around for free. Right. So it's like, hey, I can send emails for free. Why would I pay $300 or $2,000 to get started? So Entreport or Office Autopilot and Infusionsoft both had a $300 offering. At the time, though, Office Autopilot had a little brother or a little sibling called SendPepper. And SendPepper was like a scaled down version of this robust all-in-one platform. And I would argue SendPepper back then was probably more closely to where the marketing automation space is today. I think if they would have kept developing that product as a standalone marketing automation platform without, you know, everything else and highly integratable, it would have been very interesting to see how that would play against the drips and active campaigns of today. So anyways, that was 2011. And what we saw was that, again, small businesses were very adverse to adopting technology because it was new. If you go back from 2011, just a few years prior, maybe one or two around 2010. No, I'll say going forward about 2013. Yeah, it was right around the same time. 2011 is when the internet marketers like Pat Flynn and Brendan Burchard and Jeff Walker had really started to gain some momentum online, where making money online wasn't, it was still like unheard of, but it was starting to be understood as a means of working. So what happened to get us to the point where businesses were using software, and why weren't they using it before? Well, they weren't using it before because enterprise software was really the only business software that you had. This is back when Microsoft was still selling Office on CDs, right? We were used to going to buy software as a CD, putting it in our computers, disk drives. Remember when computers had disk CD drives, CD-ROMs, laptops, I mean. You would put your CD-ROM in and you would install the software and then put in your license key and everything. So what changed, that is how businesses traditionally use software. And it was enterprise software. You had to be a big company, Microsoft, Adobe, you know, those type of companies to create this software. And selling it was, of course, like I said, very physical. So the cloud disrupted everything, everybody. The cloud disrupted everything. And what the cloud did is say, look, stop going to the store and buying the internet. Stop buying software in the store. I remember checking out still. I'm dating myself. I still feel young, but I'm dating myself a bit. Used to be able to buy AOL in the checkout line, CD-ROMs to access the internet. Is that not crazy? But that was the time. That was, you know, a little bit before 2011. Maybe this is 2010-ish. No, it was far before that. This was like 2004, right? 2003. And in that time, you know, that's what small businesses were doing. We were buying software to operate our business, and the software that you had was not developed to perform marketing. So when I say the cloud did it, think about where you were when you heard about Gmail. Who introduced you to Gmail? At the time, I was using a Yahoo account. I remember, funny story, my Yahoo email was toocoldchris@yahoo.com, or maybe it was Hotmail. I was using Yahoo or Hotmail, one of those. But those were the top ones. You were doing your instant messaging through AIM, MSN Messenger, or Yahoo's Messenger, and that was your connection, right? And what the cloud did is say, hey, look, I'm going to revolutionize email and put a whole gigabyte and call it Gmail, right? And I remember my friend Abhishek Gupta in college. He's the one that introduced me to Gmail. And I was like, what's that? Why do I need that? What's a gigabyte? You know, most people didn't even realize what a gigabyte was. We're still buying 32 megabyte jump drives. 256 megabyte jump drives at that time was like unheard of. And here you go with a gigabyte of mails. Like, I'll never fill that up. Right. So that was the beginning, though. Again, this is around 2003-ish. Right. Where Gmail, and then you started seeing Dropbox. Right. Dropbox comes out and says, hey, put your files in the cloud. Everybody's like, what's the cloud? Where is it? Can I see it? Right. And the cloud continued to advance. And it made space for the Infusionsofts and Entreports. However, right around 2011, something else happened. That was when I started to follow Clay Collins at Lead Pages. And it wasn't Lead Pages at the time. He was just running a marketing blog. But what he would do is he would create these landing pages, and he would give you the code. for you to just copy the code and put it on your website. That was where technology was, everybody. So to get a landing page up, and I remember I bought a product and the person delivered all of these HTML files. And in order to get that page up, a single landing page, you had to put these files on your server. I think they were Dreamweaver files or just straight HTML. You had to put them up on your server. And if you needed to adjust the text or the copy in any way, it was done in the code. That is life of the past of the marketer, right? So what I think the cloud advancing and lead pages is a good story for me, from my perspective, because Clay was one of the first that took a process and put it in the cloud to deliver software. And that's why lead pages was the amazing tool that it was when it was, because people, A, weren't used to getting marketing software from the cloud at that time. And B, it was performing a function that was new. Conversion? What is online conversion? I just started sending emails to more than one person outside of my email inbox, right? So as the cloud advanced, the ability to put software in it increased, and thus introduced the stack. So 2011 was the all-in-one. So let me do it like this. 2003-ish was the intro to the cloud to many of us. Around 2011 is when we saw the cloud allowing small businesses to use marketing software. And around 2013 is when we started to see software say, hey, look, I'm going to perform one function instead of performing all of these functions. And it has been that trend ever since. And what came out of that is that the cloud advancing broke the all-in-one. The all-in-one used to be convenient. Now it's a hindrance, because I can get three or four tools that do exactly what I want to do, and I would rather integrate them than try to find a platform that does it all. And in fact, Infusionsoft and Entreport have been riding this all-in-one wave as long as possible, trying to keep the all-in-one alive. And I think it's been a losing battle for at least the last 5 years, honestly. So that's what happened. The cloud disrupted small business and how we do marketing with software. And it brought us to where we are today, where people are looking for software. They're not afraid to have multiple tools to run their business. It's more common, right? Because as the cloud advanced for marketing software, so did it for social media. So gone are I remember Napster downloading music and being able to send messages in Napster. And again, Instant Messenger, AOL Messenger, MSN, that was our connection. And then MySpace. And for some of you, maybe you use Black Planet, right? Then Facebook came and just really changed it. And remember back then, right around the time of MySpace, Blogger, blogspot.com, that's where your blog was at. People weren't making their own blogs on the side. So when Pat Flynn had his own blog off of Blogspot, it was just like, how did he do that? Right. So I'm just kind of helping you progress through how marketing has changed. Right. So at that time, there was no social media. It was Blogspot. It was Tumblr. It was, you know, these instant messaging apps. So as the cloud advanced, so did social connection. So the Facebooks and later on the Twitters and all of those allow people to connect electronically online, which was the gateway for exchanging money online more freely. Right. People were no longer afraid to buy things. Back in the day, it used to just be eBay and PayPal. You needed that combo to buy online. Now you've got Shopify stores. You've got Amazon. You've got all kind of vendors. Right. Zappos. You've got all these vendors and boutique shops that give you that ability. So now people are exchanging information. They're comfortable with the internet. They're comfortable with technology. And how that impacts the small business is that we now have a suite of software that we need to create for our business. right? We're now behind if we're not using the top technology. And the only way to use the top technology is to really be clear on your strategy. It's something that I teach religiously, is strategy first. In fact, it's a future episode. We'll talk about the main benefits and reasons why. But for now, just know that your strategy is what dictates what technology you use. Because now, where we are right now, oh my goodness, the tools are a dime a dozen. I believe by the time you hear this podcast, and the time between the time that I recorded it, which is maybe a week or so, 5 to 20 new tools will be introduced. And I'm talking about marketing tools. Right. So with all that, how do you filter through all of that? Right. Technology, the cloud has advanced. Technology is being adapted in a way, or adopted in a way that we've never seen before. People are more comfortable exchanging monies online, which is making it just so much easier for the small business to operate as an enterprise and be lean. Lean is where you want to be. You don't want to carry a big payroll if you don't have to. Why? Technology affords you the ability not to. You can stay lean and still scale. I've seen million-dollar brands with a team of 10 or less, right? A lot of these startups have small, lean, remote teams. So with more tools than you can count, with technology affording you to be lean and scale, and the goal being to not spend all of this time in your business like traditionally you would at work, technology and automation is that only pathway. But with that, you need a strong strategy, because the strategy is really what's going to give your automation its marching orders. And in fact, that's what I spend the majority of my time mentoring and consulting around, is really fine tuning the strategy so that we can pick the proper tools. Because again, there's more tools than we can count. The last thing you want to do today and going forward is to pick a tool based on someone else's recommendation or some other guru. And that's what I see. That's what I see the most. I despise those Facebook posts where it's just like, hey, what are your thoughts? Infusionsoft or ActiveCampaign? And I'm just thinking, what? There's no context. I don't know your business. I don't know your process. Everybody, we're in the day and age right now. You could be in the same industry. I could be a fitness trainer and you could be a fitness trainer, and we could have a very similar model, but how we conduct business is going to determine the technology. So I could say, hey, look, man, we're using MindBody and it's amazing. And you're like, hey, you're a fitness trainer. You use MindBody. You're successful. Let me use MindBody. And then you do it and it doesn't work. Why? Because how you operate your business, the processes, your team size, how much time you desire to spend in your business, how much time you desire not to. All of those considerations determine the tool, not somebody's opinion that is really founded in questionable intelligence. So when someone posts that, I already know you're not going to get, you don't know your own considerations. You don't know your process well enough to be able to say, okay, this is the best tool. It's different if somebody is posting and saying, hey, look, this is how I'm acquiring leads. When I get those leads, I want to send them to my sales team. And after they do that, I need them to do X, Y, Z. I was looking at Infusionsoft. I was looking at HubSpot. Which one? Totally different question, because we're taking in the consideration, the business consideration. So this is why it is dangerous to listen to gurus with prescriptive systems in place if they don't match your business considerations and models. Which brings me to where I think the space is going to go. And when I say where we're going to go, I want to focus on marketing automation first. And I believe what we're going to see is the verticalized approach to marketing automation. It's funny because the thing that drew me to ActiveCampaign back in 2015, I believe, was the fact that they were a pure marketing automation solution where everybody else was all in one. And this pure marketing automation solution was built on integrating with other tools. In fact, at this time, when you got an ActiveCampaign account, Zapier came coupled. That's how long ago I'm talking about. Right now, Zapier is its own platform, not integrated with ActiveCampaign at that level. But this entire, hey, you can have pure marketing automation was a thing. Now you fast forward to what all-in-one means now. And I think ActiveCampaign is more of an all-in-one marketing automation solution. And that's not a bad thing, but here's what I mean. Because the needs of people are advancing and maturing, you have different industries coming into one platform saying, hey, I'm a coach. How do I use ActiveCampaign? Hey, I'm an e-commerce person. How do I use it? Hey, I'm a blogger. How do I use it? And now the onus is on the company to show you how to use this buffet of automation and create the plate that you would like to eat. How do I take all these features and cater them to me? Well, what's the alternative? What if a platform just had all of those features alone so you didn't have to filter out of features that you need and don't? One of the top questions I would get when I was at ActiveCampaign or responses, people would say, you know what, I'm using ActiveCampaign and I know I'm not using as much as I should. And I would always tell them, I said, well, is it working? Yeah, it's working. Well, that's what you should be using. You know, but there was this pressure that since the app could do more, I'm supposed to be doing more. So where I see, and this is confirmed by platforms like Kartra for consultants, speakers, coaches, Drip for e-commerce, Klaviyo for e-commerce, you're going to start seeing platforms specialize in automation for a specific vertical and leaving out all the rest. And what is the all-in-one marketing automation platforms? What do they have to do to combat that? They're going to have to add. They're going to have to use add-ons. They're going to have to create a product. And instead of including it in the system, they'll include it as a standalone that's integrated with their system. So they could sell it as a one-off or you can buy it collectively. That's where we're going, everybody. You're going to see more verticalized marketing automation platforms. And in fact, I saw one recently. It was a barbershop app and it did scheduling, payment processing, and reminders. You can argue as a barber, that's all you need. People are not going to go on a website and schedule their haircut or hair appointment when if they got a text, hey, your appointment, you know, it's been a couple weeks from your appointment. If you want to schedule, give us a call or click the link in a text. And they click the link in a text. It pulls up a mobile app and they can just select a time. Listen, that's what a barber wants, right? So having a platform built specifically for them is the way to go. And I think and I believe you're going to see that. You're going to see that as well as mark my words, omnichannel or multi-channel marketing is going to be more widely accepted. Back in the day, you used to be able to get away with one channel like email or maybe social media. You just have an Instagram page and you're crushing it. Don't you dare go into 2020 and beyond with that approach. Omni-channel. You need multiple channels. I propose 2 to 3. One is really, you're always going to have one channel that outperforms all of them, but your marketing needs to exist on multiple channels. And in order to do that accurately, you got to have a tracking system in place, right? To track that omni-channel approach. So lastly, when we talk about where we're going, where we're at, where we're going, what to look for, what about sales automation? People are exchanging money online at the highest rate ever we've ever seen. We've never seen it like this. Cyber Monday and Black Friday. What do you guys see? It's billions of dollars transacted online for that weekend. Right. So with that being said, taking money used to be a full time job. I remember selling a service in my early years as a consultant that was catered around just setting up online payment systems, because this was back when one shopping cart was really the main thing. And you had your other merchant accounts like authorized.net that would integrate. But these things were very expensive and very technical. You know, I remember I used a platform called BluePay at one point just because I was able to get more functional web forms up, payment forms. And then I eventually migrated and tried Gravity Forms with Stride. Back then, it didn't work too well. JotForm with payments. I use that pretty consistently. But what happened is, again, the cloud advanced and we saw the ability for people to put payment processing software up. So now you have your SAM carts, your Thrive carts, your Kajabis, right? Your online payment systems that you can go and create a Stripe account for free. First off, Stripe didn't exist back in the day. Now Stripe is a godsend to anybody taking payments online, right? You can go set up a Thrive card account, integrate it with Stripe, and be taking payments within 30 minutes. Go set up a Shopify store, integrate it with Shopify payments or Stripe, whatever they're calling it now. You're selling products within an hour, within a week, right? So sales automation has seen a great increase. I don't think it's going to evolve as much as we can expect marketing automation to, but sales automation, what we're going to see is more integration. So we saw where before it was just being able to take payment. Now you can take payment and add them to a CRM. But even further, you could take payment, add them to the CRM and add them to a membership platform. Right. Soon you'll be able to take payment. And when I say take payment, I mean one product purchases, not checkout carts, but you'll be able to take payment. Right. Send it to a fulfillment spot and have it drop shipped. And I'm talking about outside of Shopify. You can already do that in Shopify. I'm talking about people who are selling, perhaps you're selling coaching, and maybe along with your coaching, you want to send the people a t-shirt or some physical product. I believe that platforms like the SAM carts and Thrive carts and all of that, they're going to start adding physical delivery of products. I believe Thrive cart can already do it. We're going to see a trend of that. On the e-commerce side, I'm seeing drop shipping technology evolving. More people are figuring out how to drop ship. More platforms are integrating and making it easier for the person to control the whole entire fulfillment process without ever really having to touch the product. I think we're going to continue to see that, as well as Messenger, right? Messenger for e-commerce has really changed and elevated the game. I'm very interested to see how it continues to evolve, but I'll be the first to tell you, I love getting shipping notifications sent to my phone and or in Messenger. I really do. Right. So it just opens up the gateway for them to be able to, you know, selectively promote and send more things. Right. So with that being said, we've talked about marketing automation and we talked about sales automation, what the current state is and what to expect going forward. One thing that we have to be mindful of, and honestly, as I'm recording this, I'm already close to my 30-minute mark. Part two of this is going to be the competitive landscape. I don't want to squeeze it in, so that'll be the next episode. I'm going to break these up, and because I want to spend some time here on AI, artificial intelligence and machine learning. Machine learning is a subset of artificial intelligence, and it's essentially the process of technology monitoring the behavior of your business and making suggestions or changes for you, right? So for instance, if I see that, hey, people in your account, in your database, tend to open their emails at 3 p.m., I can have an option to say, hey, send this message using AI. And the AI will say, hey, well, based on this contact and the information that we've collected, this is the best time to send that email. Which is interesting, right? AI in dynamic content, or machine learning in dynamic content. So it says, hey, look, based on what data we have on you, this email, this is the content that you need to see. Right? AI in analytics, predictive and forecasting, you know, web-based artificial intelligence. We already see that with platforms like Write Message, right? That you can program it in, but then there's also this automation piece to where your website can dynamically change based on what people are doing. I think 2020 is going to be the year where we see more artificial intelligence in marketing and sales than ever. And I will tell you, I will be the last to adopt it. I'm going to tell you that up front. I am not going to be on the forefront of this. And the reason being is because how do you measure it? If let's take dynamic content, let's say I send an email and it's deciding what version of that email to send. How do I know at a trend at an overall level without going to each specific contact and email to know what copy is resonating? What about that made it work? Right. Which is my main problem right now with dynamic content in emails. You could send one email that changes content based on the contact's information, but the metrics are not per version. They're per that email. So if that email got a 60% open rate, I don't know what version led to that. Right. I don't know. It'd be different if the tracking was like people with this tag had this open rate, people with that tag had this open rate, but that's not the case. No platform is doing that right now, at least not to my knowledge. If I'm wrong, please correct me. So with machine learning and artificial intelligence and marketing, I'm just curious on how the tracking is going to work. How do you measure the performance of that? So I'm not sold on it. I'm excited about it and where it could go. But just understand, you won't see me using it anytime soon. I need to let it mature and I need to understand I need to understand how to measure the effectiveness of it. Now, there are companies out there that are offering this stuff. They don't do a good job measuring their marketing as is. So why would they care? You know, I won't say the one platform in mind, but just know I've got intimate experience with it, but they're terrible at marketing. They don't measure it or anything. So if they add these features that require measurements, that it's easier for them to do that with no conscience because they don't measure anything anyway. Whereas you look at a savvy marketer, we need to measure everything. We need to make sure we know exactly what's working, why, and how. Artificial intelligence is not there yet. I don't think it's far. I just think it's a consideration that if you're going to offer it in your system, I know MailChimp does this. You know, there's a handful of platforms that are starting to do more. You have to factor in how is somebody going to measure the decision that the machine made? Because right now, again, I don't know. If you sent my email to my entire database at different times, that's more of a safe metric. I could say, okay, you're going to send it at the right time. But if you're changing my content dynamically, you know, if you're changing anything else, I need to be able to measure how that change performed. This is called split testing. It's like automated split testing. The problem is AI is not, at least the platforms using AI are not allowing you to see the metrics. When you do a split test, like using Visual Website Optimizer or something similar, it will show you the version of the website or the version of your messaging and how it performed. I think artificial intelligence or machine learning has to get there. There's no way for a marketer to operate with it confidently without it being there. Okay. So the state of small business automation going forward, summed up, what we're doing now, we're just going to see more of it. Automation use is going to rise and so will abuse. So you're going to need to be more responsible than ever. You need to focus on strategic planning of your marketing and sales before adopting technology. That is going to be your guiding light and savior through this trend and this evolution. Again, if you're on the forefront, you just have to use technology and the latest and greatest, so be it. Machine learning, I'm pausing on it. I'm cheering from the sideline. I want it to evolve, but I need to be able to measure my marketing. Again, people are interacting online, exchanging information online at an all-time high. How can you use that to inform yourself how to market? Right? How can you collect that information? 2020 and beyond, automation, information collection. Every business is now into deep data, right? Every business, Most of you, it's your contact database. But how can you collect as much information as possible, not to be Big Brother, but to be intelligent in your marketing? Okay, that's where I see it going. Again, the next episode is going to be dedicated to the competitive landscape. That'll be part two of this. But I want to thank you for listening to this episode. I hope it was helpful. I know it was a lot, but I hope it was just helpful to give you some understanding of why we are here. I know a lot of times people just say automate, 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 online, 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 scale, scale, scale. You see Shark Tank and you hear all these stories of these people who raise all this funding. But this is how we got here. So understanding how we got here and what to expect going forward. One of the things that's tried and true, you better have a strategy. I don't care how technology evolves. If you don't have a strategy and don't know how to create a marketing strategy, you'll always be at the mercy of somebody with big bucks willing to invest and take your business. Period. Period. On Shark Tank, what do they ask you? Your numbers. You have to know your numbers. So a strategy and measured marketing is going to serve you well, no matter what technological advancements come along. And that's what you need to be based in. That's what you need to invest in. All right. So this has been amazing. My promise to you is to keep these around 30 minutes. I'm a little over. Forgive me for these first five or six podcasts. There's just so much that I want to get to you and I want to make your binge experience very valuable. So make sure you're subscribed. Make sure you share this information and leave a 5-star rating and review. And I'll see you on the next episode where I'm going to dedicate that entire episode to the competitive landscape for marketing and sales automation. Signing off as Chris Davis, Chris L. Davis, the founder of Automation Bridge. I hope this was helpful to you. Excited to see you on the next episode. Until then, my friends, automate responsibly.